This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Trial of Karen Reed about to get started. Jury selection going on as of our recording right now. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us to discuss this one. This is a case, especially locally where it is taking place, it has really divided a community and has got people out there in droves, protesting, really wanting to have their voice heard. I saw some things the other week of, I took my kids out of school to see this. Well, I guess it's an interesting field trip and a lesson in our justice system. But this is one where, of all the cases that I think we've seen recently, getting jurors that are unbiased on something like this has got to be difficult. What do you think they'd be looking for in something like this to truly get an unbiased juror? And is it even possible if this taking place right where the crime took place?
Yeah, this may be one where the change of venue would really be justified, mm-hmm. because it seems like in that local community, relatively small area, people really are activated about it. And when you have the protests, you know, outside and people carrying signs, I don't think you could get a truly unbiased jury there.
Yeah, it's a very interesting case because there's so many people involved. Karen Reed is obviously the one on trial. The defense has brought up an alternate suspect theory, which will be introduced later on. The judge saying, yeah, you can bring that up, just not in opening statements, but further on, you can introduce that. And you have so many people in this with like little chunks of evidence here and there. Some pieces on almost everybody's hand point to having some sort of knowledge that John O'Keefe was dead or at least out there in the cold, in the snow on that that fateful night. With all these people having some sort of knowledge, clearly the text messages that we've seen, is this a story where self-preservation is really what's being highlighted here? Some people having more knowledge than others maybe, but at the end of the day, they're going to cover for themselves, and that's why no one is taking any sort of accountability here?
Yeah. It's what makes it so weird is all the different bits of information from all the different sources. I think it's why it's almost sort of like an Agatha Christie novel or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, who done it? It's like there's all these possibilities.
Yeah, and when you have officer involved, what I found interesting about the investigation is the fact that there's an officer that's dead that was in the front lawn of another officer. Have you ever seen a case where a police officer that gets killed or is dead not be investigated to a super crazy extent? I mean, this is an interesting one because they didn't investigate it very much at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm really wondering, had John O'Keefe died on someone else's lawn or really anywhere, if he wasn't a police officer, would there have been more of an investigation? It's usually the opposite here. And it's very questionable as to why it wasn't more investigated, considering it's one of their own.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. You would certainly think so. Having Karen in a blackout state and the various statements that she made, it looked easy, I mm-hmm. guess, up front. But yeah, we have to wonder, are there other motives going on?
Let's talk about some of the testimony that is going to be given here in this case, and a lot of it eyewitness testimony. But it's coming from mainly people who were drunk. Hopefully the snowplow guy wasn't drunk. We have no blood alcohol level on him, but let's just assume he's not. Other than the snowplow guy, everyone who is going to give testimony in this, drunk. And this happened several years ago as well. How might that affect the accuracy and the reality of one just trying to accurately recall, even if they have true, honest intent to recall reality? Is that even that possible to do?
No, honestly. And I've seen so many cases where just because someone was intoxicated at the time of a crime, they were considered completely non-credible. And particularly when they're intoxicated to the point of being in a blackout. Your thinking brain is completely unplugged. And I think that's highly problematic.
Does it increase the odds of false memories if someone is under the influence of something when they're trying to recall something, especially something that happened to several years ago?
Yeah, it certainly can, because our imagination tries to fill in the blanks. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're even intentionally doing that. It's just the way memory works. You know, we have a period of time, we don't know what happened. And so then our brain starts trying to give us little hints and little clues. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a problem.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.